The self-appointed record breaker. George B. Culpepper, of Fort Valley, Georgia, is certainly a record breaker. And what's more, he's proud to admit it to the world. In his home in Fort Valley, George Culpepper is talking with a friend.
You know, Hank, I've been reading these cartoons by John Hicks in the papers, and I'm going to write to him tonight about myself.
Oh, you mean about all them eggs yet?
Sure, but that's not all I'm going to write about. No, sirree.
No? What else, George?
Well, first of all, my whole family has held all sorts of records. My brother, he holds a record for preaching more sermons than any living man.
Oh, yeah?
My mother, she drank less water than anybody else, and she lived to be 83. By golly, if she ever did drink any water, we always knew Ma was sick.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And now, here I come along, and I claim the record of eating 36,000 eggs in 15 years. How about that?
Some record, George.
Yes, sirree. Just think how many chickens there would have been if half of them 36,000 eggs had been set upon. Why, all them chickens and eggs would have made a pyramid as high as the Woolworth would have been.
By golly, Hank, you sure got a mind for figures.
Oh, I come to that natural. Always was a one for a figuring and a figuring.
You know, maybe you ought to write that letter to Hicks tonight.
That's what I'm going to do. Why, say, I've got more records than that.
What other records you got, George?
I've wrapped myself around nearly 7,000 loaves of bread in 25 years. Some loafer, eh? And the biggest record of all, I've been married for 37 years, so I can qualify for continuous war service longer than the 30 years war.
Strange as it seems, George Culpepper of Fort Valley, Georgia, has really eaten 36,000 eggs in 15 years, not to mention breaking many other records. In the words of Culpepper himself, some men are born great, not I. Some men achieve greatness. That's me. Some men have greatness thrust upon them. I may yet qualify. Does absence make the heart grow fonder? It is 1855 in the little German town of Kenschein on the Rhine. Europe is inflamed with talk of the Crimean War raging in the east. In the United States, the Civil War is brewing. But to Jacob Schwartz and Frieda Schmidt, sitting at their little table in the beer garden, love is the chief topic of conversation.
Frieda, you look pretty tonight. I don't believe I ever knew a girl who is as pretty as you are.
Oh, I am glad, Jacob.
I love you, Frieda.
I love you, Jacob. Always. Forever.
Kiss me.
Oh, but I can't. They're across the table.
Yes, you can. Lean over. Now. Another.
Father will be coming back. He'll see us.
I don't mind. Do you, really?
No.
Oh, Frieda, why won't they let us get married? Oh,
because you haven't any money. Father said that he would give his consent if you made your fortune in America.
And I will make it in America. They can't stop me. Oh, but it would be so much easier if you were with me.
Do you think it will be easy for me to wait until you come back? Jacob, you will come back. You won't forget me way over there, will you?
No, you know I won't. I'll never love anybody else, ever.
Jacob, and mother and father say it's just puppy love.
They don't know. They're forgotten when they were 17.
Yeah. When are you leaving for America?
In a week.
Just a week?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it will only be a little time. And then we can be together. Always.
Always, sweetheart. always.
Twenty-five years have passed. Frieda Schmidt is having morning coffee with her friend Anna Bergdorf.
Will you have more coffee, waiter?
Danke schön, Anna. Only one more cup.
Oh, you look sad today, Frieda.
Do I?
Oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, Frieda, why didn't you marry Theodor Bachmann? He would have been a good husband. Why didn't you marry him?
Because I still love Jacob.
But, Frieda, in a few years, you will be an old woman. No man is worth waiting a lifetime for.
Oh, you do not understand. You married Hans. You have had four sons and a daughter. You and Hans will grow old together. Oh, no, Anna. You cannot understand what it is like to wait. Unwait for the one face in the world.
Why, Frieda... I've never heard you talk like this before.
No. Jacob will come back someday. And then I will know my waiting has not been in vain.
It is 1917. Frieda and Anna, now old ladies, still have their morning coffee and their memories.
Will you have another cup, Frieda?
Danke schön, Nana. Just one.
I wish we could have cream and sugar in it. But then, the soldiers must have all of those things. The last time we had cream was when Otto came back from the front. Remember?
Yeah. That day we had enough flour to make some biscuits.
Do you think the war will ever end?
Now that the United States has come in, I do not know what will happen. Thank God. Jacob is too old to fight against the fatherland.
Jacob? Still waiting for Jacob? Do you realize, Frieda, that he went away 62 years ago?
Yeah, I know.
In those years, I have had four sons, seen them go to war, one by one, three of them killed already. Now even their children are leaving for the trenches. Maybe it is better to be like you, Frieda, and have no sons than to give them up to the war.
Anna, it is not for us to say. No, it is not for us to say.
It is 1929. No more do Frieda and Anna have their coffee together, because Anna is dead.
Come in.
Fräulein Schmidt.
Well. If it isn't Louisa. Sit down. Here, beside me.
Mother sent you these flowers from the garden.
Oh, they smell so sweet. Those little roses always make me think of the time when I was a girl, like you. Just 16. I had long yellow hair, too. Jacob used to twist it around his fingers, so...
Is Jacob the man who went to America? Grandmama used to tell me about it when I was little.
Yeah. We would have coffee together every morning, your grandmama and I. She tried to make me marry Theodor Bachmann. The last thing Anna ever said to me was, Frieda, you should have married Theodor. And she knew I was still in love with Jacob.
You mean for 74 years you have waited for that man? The one who went away?
Yeah. I love him.
Shall I go to the door for line
sleeper? Yeah, Liefchen.
Oh, good morning.
A letter for Fräulein Schmidt. Tell her a good morning for me.
Doctor.
Goodbye.
A letter for you, Fräulein.
A letter? From America.
From Los Angeles, California.
Oh, from him. From Jacob. Oh, take my glasses. Oh, dear, the eyes. I can't.
Here they are, Fräulein, see? Oh. By this book.
Oh, Dante. Dante, Schöner. You will excuse me, but it has been a long time since he wrote.
Why, Fräulein Schmidt, you're trembling.
He's coming back. Jacob is coming back.
Coming back?
Yeah. He says we will be married. He's coming back. Coming back to me. He says, Frida, are you still the prettiest girl in Kenshain, on the Rhine?
Strange as it seems, in 1929, Frida Schmidt had actually waited 74 years in Germany for Jacob Schwartz to return from America. She was then 90. He was 91.